Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. We'll cover the first two verses of Canto 5, Chapter 12. We'll recite together for the first verse. Rahugana uvacha. Namo namah karana vigrahaya. Svarupa tuchki krita vigrahaya. Namo vadhuta dvija bandhu linga. Vibhuta nitya nupavaya tubhyam. Rahugana uvacha. Namo namakarana vigrahaya. Sarupa tuchki krita vigrahaya. Namo vadhuta dvija bandhu linga. Nigodha nityanupavaya tubhyam. Rahugana uvacha. Namo namakarana vigrahaya. Sarupa tuchi kuta vigrahaya. Namo vadhuta dvija bandhu linga. Nigodha nityanubhavaya tubhyam. Rahugana uvacha. Namo namakarana vigrahaya. Rahugana uvacha. Namo namakarana vigrahaya. Sarupa tuchi kata vigrahaya. Namo vadhuta dvija bandhu linga. Nugodha nityanubhavaya. Rahugana uvacha. Namo namakarana vigrahaya. Sarupa tuchi kata vigrahaya. Namo vadhuta dvija bandhu linga. Nigodha nityanubhavaya tubhyam. Rahugana uvacha. Namo namakarana vigrahaya. Sarupa tuchi kata vigrahaya. Namo vadhuta dvija bandhu linga. Nugodha nityanubhavaya tubhyam. Rahugana uvacha. Namo namakarana vigrahaya. Sarupa tuchi kata vigrahaya. Namo vadhuta dvija bandhu linga. Nigodha nityanubhavaya tubhyam. Rahugana uvacha. King Rahugana said, Namaha. My respectful obeisances Namaha. Obeisances. Karana Vigrahaya. To one whose body emanates from the Supreme Person. The cause of all causes. Sarupa Tuchi Krita Vigrahaya. One who has completely removed all the contradictions of the scriptures by manifesting his true self. Namaha, respectful obeisances. Abhidhuta, O master of all mystic power. Vijja Bandhavinga, by the characteristics of a person born in a Brahmana family, but not executing the duties of a Brahmana. Nigodha, covered. Nitya Anubhavaya, to him whose eternal self-realization. Tobyam, to you. Translation. I'll read the translation after I read the chapter summary. Chapter summary. Chapter entitled Conversation Between Maharaj Rahugana and Jad Bharata. Because Maharaj Rahugana was still doubtful about his enlightenment, he asked the Brahmana Jad Bharata to repeat his instructions and clarify ideas he could not understand. In this chapter, Maharaj Rahugana offers his respectful obeisances to Jad Bharata, who was concealing his real position. The king could understand by his speech how exalted and advanced he was in spiritual knowledge. He very much regretted his offense against him. Maharaj Rahugana was bitten by the serpent of ignorance, but was cured by the nectarian words of Jad Bharata. Later, because he was doubtful about the subjects discussed, he made further inquiries, one question after another. First, he wanted to be released from the offense he had committed at the lotus feet of Jad Bharata. Paragraph. Maharaj Rahugana was somewhat unhappy at not being able to grasp Jad Bharat's instructions, which were full of meaning, that could not be understood by a materialistic person. Therefore, Jad Bharata repeated his instructions more clearly. He said that on the surface of the globe, all living entities moving and unmoving were but transformations of the earth in different ways. The king was very proud of his king's body, but that body was simply another transformation of the earth. Out of his false prestige, the king was misbehaving toward the palanquin carrier as a master toward a servant, and he was actually very unkind to other living entities. Consequently, King Rahugana was unfit to give protection to the citizens, and because he was ignorant, he was unfit to be counted among advanced philosophers. Everything in the material world is but a transformation of earth, although things have different names according to their transformations. Actually, the varieties are one and the same, and ultimately all these varieties are vanquished into atoms. Nothing is permanent in this material world. The variety of things and their distinctions are simply mental concoctions. The absolute truth is beyond delusion and is manifested in three features: impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ultimate realization of the absolute truth is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, called Vasudeva by his devotees. Unless one is blessed with the dust from the feet of a pure devotee on his head, one cannot possibly become a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In final paragraph, Jad Bharata also told about his own previous birth and informed the king that, by the grace of the Lord, he still remembered all the incidents of his past life. Due to the activities of his past life, Judd Barrett was being very cautious and was therefore assuming the characteristics of a deaf and dumb man to avoid mingling with the material world. Association with the material modes of nature is very powerful. Bad association of materialistic men can be avoided only in the association of devotees. In the association of devotees, one is given an opportunity to render devotional service in 9 different ways. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. In this way, in the association of devotees, one can pass over material association, cross the ocean of nations, and return home back to Godhead. Not very hopeful. A little struggle here and there, but very hopeful. Translation for text number 1. King Rahugana said, "O most exalted personality, you are not different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By the influence of your true self, all kinds of contradictions in the Shastras have been removed. In the dress of a friend of a Brahmana, you are hiding your transcendental blissful position. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you." Purport. From the Brahma Samhita, we understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of all causes. Sarva Karana Karanam. Rishabhdev was the direct incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes. His son, Bharat Maharaj, who is now acting as the Brahmana Judd Bharata, had received his body from the cause of all causes. Therefore, he is addressed as Karana Vigrahaya. I was thinking to go to, let's go to the second verse also. Connected. Text 2. O best of the Brahmanas, my body is filled with dirty things, and my vision has been bitten by the serpent of pride. Due to my material conceptions, I am diseased. Your nectarian instructions are the proper medicine for one suffering from such a fever, and they are cooling waters for one scorched by the heat. Purport. The conditioned soul has a body full of dirty things, bones, blood, urine, stool, and so forth. Nonetheless, the most intelligent men in this material world think they are these combinations of blood, bones, urine, and stool. If this is so, why can't other intelligent men be made with these ingredients, which are so readily available? The entire world is going on under the bodily conception and creating a hellish condition unfit for any gentleman's living. The instructions given to King Rahugana by Judd Bharat are very valuable. They are like the medicine that can save one from a snake bite. The Vedic instructions are like nectar and cool water for one suffering from scorching heat. Makes you want to read more, right? More. In this verse, namo nama karana vigrahaya. Without mentioning the name Rishabhdev, it's karana vigrahaya. Vigraha means form and karana means causation. So the absolute truth, Krishna, is Sarva Karana Karanam Govinda. Sarva Karana Karanam, the cause of all karanas, the karana of all karanas. So Karana Vigrahaya is the personality of Godhead, And Rishabhdev is referring to Bharat as Karana Vigrahaya. Jad Bharat is not the personality of Godhead. Jad Bharat is the son of a Brahmana in this particular lifetime as Jad Bharat. But somehow, King Rahugana understands something more than he says the son of a Brahmana, because in the verse it's also this Dvija Bandhu Ringa. Let's do that one. Brahma Bandhu or Dvija Bandhu, the son of a twice born, that doesn't follow the standards. Who's an example? One example in the first canto Bhagavatam is Shringi. Shringi was the one who cursed Maharaj Parikshit. Although he was the son of a Brahmana, he didn't have the qualification of a Brahmin, although he knew mantras and misused the mantras because he was not qualified. So Dvija Bandhu. Or another, Ashvatthama, the son of Drona. So Drona was a qualified Brahmana, and his son was unqualified, so he's referred to as Dvija Bandhu, Bandhu like broken. This deviated person, born in a qualified family, but not following the standards of that qualified family. Dvija Bandhu. So, on the one hand, Jad Bharat is similarly born from a Brahmana, described earlier in this canto, and very qualified Brahmana, and tried again and again and again and again and again, to, as a father will try to do with son, particularly a Brahmana will try to teach his son Brahminical knowledge. And deliberately, his son did everything backwards. He would take his bath and then pass stool instead of pass stool and take bath. And you know, he would think backwards, deliberately. His father tried and tried, and he just resigned himself. It's not going to happen. So he wasn't following the codes of a Brahmana, therefore, in the verse, he's being identified as a Dvija Bandhu. But earlier in the verse, he's referred to as Karana Vigrahaya. Well, somehow, Rahugana picked up on the fact that he wasn't just Jad Bharat. Certainly, we heard in the chapter summary, he could understand. King Rahugana could understand. This person isn't an ordinary person. He's not a Shudra or a dumb fellow, or he's not a crazy person. The word is also used. Avaduta. Namo Avaduta Dvija Bandhu Linga. Avaduta. Jad Bharat's previous life as Bharat Maharaj had as his father Rishabhdev, who, after exhibiting his pastimes as a king, exhibited his pastimes as an avaduta. Totally detached. Extremely detached. Very strangely detached. In a variety of ways. From worldly convention. Jad Bharat appears to similarly be an avaduta. And sometimes Lord Nityananda is described that way because he just didn't follow social convention in so many ways. So Jad Bharat is an avaduta, namo avaduta, Dvija Bandhu, lingam. You're in the body of a Brahmana but not be conducting your life as a Brahmana. And you're conducting your life as an avaduta. That's the external. But you're actually, your position is, again, karana vigrahaya. He's not the personality of Godhead. But in his previous life, he's the son of the personality of Godhead. Bharat, who later became the emperor of the world, was the son of Rishabdev, who was the personality of Godhead. So now I'm going to spend a little bit of time, just fun time, on the position of Rishabdev. Because some of you were with us yesterday evening. We spent yesterday evening discussing Lord Kapila, his life and teachings. So we heard from Laghu Bhagavatamrita about Kapila, and one of the statements about Kapila is that he's in a category of Prabhava avatar. Prabhava avatar is of two categories, and both Kapila and Rishabdev fall in that category, category of those that give teachings, and their Amsha, their Vishnu Tattva forms that do not manifest the fullness of Vishnu's potency, but they do that particular function, they give teachings. So Rishabdev is in that category, Prabhava. And just some other interesting points about Rishabdev. He's mentioned in Canto 1, Chapter 3, which is a partial incarnation of, a partial list of forms of Vishnu that appear in the world, because that was one of the questions. That means avatar. So he's listed in Canto 1, Chapter 3, as same as is described in Canto 5. It's expanded in Canto 5, the son of King Nabha and Meru. And Rishabdev is the personality of Godhead. Interesting is in Canto 8, it's mentioned that Rishabdev also appears not just in our current Manu number 7, which is Vaivasvata Manu, mentions in Canto 8, he also appears 2 Manus later, Manu number 9. And the name of mother is future, just like Buddha was predicted before he would come. And he came as predicted with his mother's name and where he would appear, etc., etc. You know, interesting. It was written before Buddha appeared. So this is now not only for in the same Manu, but in 2 Manus from now. And the life of Manu is really long. For 71 yuga cycles is the duration of each Manu. And yuga cycle is 4,320,000 years times 71. That's a lot of years. And so it's, you know, the forecast is Rishabdev will appear again. At least an incarnation of the personality of Godhead bearing the name Rishab. Of course, doesn't so much matter because it's Lord Vishnu in any case. But there it says his father's name would be Ayushman, his mother's name would be Ambudhara, and there he's referred to as a Bhagavat Kala. What's that? Well, we're accustomed in the Hare Krishna movement to hearing Prabhupada translate Kala as a portion of a plenary portion, like the Purusha avatars. So what's that? Krishna's direct expansion is Balaram or Sankarshan. And expansions from Sankarshan are called Kala, a portion of a plenary portion. With that, the indication is, keeping it in, you know, simple terms, all the potencies that are manifest in Balaram are not manifest in the expansions of Balaram or Sankarshan. Thus, a portion of a plenary portion Did I lose anybody? Let's say it again, but in a different way. Lord Vishnu, who takes the form as Paramatma, also Mahavishnu that manifests the universes, and Garbhadakshay Vishnu that enters within each universe, and Paramatma that enters within every soul and every atom of the universe. This Paramatma feature, again keeping it simple, or the Purusha avatar form, doesn't have all of the 64 qualities. He has 60. And Krishna has the other four. Similarly, Balaram possesses the fullness of the personality of Godhead. So that's a plenary portion. And the portion of a plenary portion does not. Another way of saying the same thing is Jiva Goswami in Tattva Sandarbha, one of the six Sandarbhas, is Paramatma Sandarbha. And his language, keeping it simple, is the fullness of all the potencies of the Supreme Lord are suppressed or not manifest. They're there, but they're not manifest. Why? Because there's a function. What's that function? Overseeing Prakriti. Now, Krishna doesn't do that. He does so through the agency of Lord Vishnu. So he does it, but he doesn't do it. This is the simultaneous oneness and difference. He doesn't do it. Lord Vishnu does it. His expansion does it. That's what Paramatma does. Paramatma doesn't perform pastimes, playing on his flute and loving pastimes with cowherd boys. He doesn't do that. What does he do? He oversees Prakriti. So the fullness of the potencies of Karana Karanam, Govinda, Sarva Karana Karanam, is not manifest in Paramatma. Again, saying it, the fullness of the potencies are suppressed. And thus we have another feature of the Absolute Truth, as mentioned in the purport number 2. That is, the Absolute Truth is manifest. Absolute Truth is manifest in three different features, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So Paramatma is a feature of the Absolute Truth in which the fullness of the potencies of Bhagavan are not manifest, because it's the Paramatma feature that manifests very special potencies. The potencies of overseeing Prakriti, which means overseeing time and overseeing karma and overseeing guna and the whole shebang. That's what Paramatma does as an expansion of Garbhadakshay Vishnu, as an expansion of Mahavishnu. That's the Purusha avatars, now going back to this language of Kala, the portion of a plenary portion. So, back to Canto 8. In Rishabhdev's appearance, in the ninth Manu, he's identified as Bhagavat Kala, portion of a plenary portion, which is slightly different language, but it's not so terribly different. It's just like, it's a subtlety. And please don't ask me to go over the subtlety again, because I'm doing it right now. I'll just do my best effort. And if you ask me, I'll have to say the same thing again. Angsha is the term that's used in relation to Rishabhdev, the son of King Nabha and Meru, indicating Vishnu Tattva, but not the fullness of the potencies of Vishnu, of the original personality of Godhead. There's some subtle difference that I don't clearly understand yet, but there's some, so the terminologies are to indicate some subtle difference, which I can't explain, so don't ask me. But this Prabhava category, according to, if someday our great Acharya's commentary on Lagu Bhagavatamrita comes, that I can answer such a question. But this Prabhava avatar that we heard about, Kalki, which Rishabhdev also falls under, give teachings and not the fullness of the potencies of the original personality of Godhead, but still the personality of Godhead. Do Vishnu Tattva, but not the fullness. So other terms are partial incarnation. Dattatreya is in that same category. Partial incarnation. He's Vishnu, but partial incarnation. But we can say the personality of Godhead. So now, back to the text. Jad Bharat, in the first line on the board here, he's being addressed Namo Nama Karana Vigrahaya. Not the present body, but in his previous two births ago, he was the son of Rishabdev. Now, he doesn't necessarily say that King Rahugana figured it out, or somehow that knowledge was imparted to him from Supersoul or something like that. Doesn't necessarily mean that. Rather, he's honoring one who has such quality. He's offering his obeisances to one who has such quality. Like, for example, commonly we hear, Srila Prabhupada explained that the word Bhagavan applies to one person only, the personality of Godhead. Conversely, it's not to be applied to someone other than the personality of Godhead, with the injunction as the prohibition. However, sometimes, rarely, but sometimes, great devotees are also referred to as Bhagavan, so that sounds like a transgression of that rule. Well, it is a transgression of that rule, but it's done because that person is so empowered by the personality of Godhead, they're bearing the potency of the personality of Godhead in full, at least like Narada is sometimes referred to that way, sometimes, obviously, commonly not, but sometimes, because he's manifesting the fullness of bhakti shakti of the personality of Godhead, therefore sometimes he's referred to in that way. Rarely, occasionally. So my understanding is that's what Rahugana is doing here. He's referring to Jad Bharat in this way because he recognizes from hearing him, he's not ordinary. He's beyond not ordinary. He's a manifestation of Karana Vigrahaya. So he's being honored on a level like the personality of Godhead without identifying him as the personality of Godhead. That's my understanding. And appropriately, Prabhupada explained it in the purport, because in his previous life, he was directly the son of Rishabdev, who was the personality of Godhead. Then, one last point from text 2. Rahugana is recognizing the spirit of what he's doing is he's cleared, his pride has been at least somewhat smashed and cleared, and now he's able to see things better. And he's able to understand, I'm in this contaminated position because of this covering of the body and particularly my identification with the body. But the good news is, your words, Jad Bharat, have helped clear that contamination through the cooling, peaceful, I mean, in other words, he didn't annihilate him. He lifted him with his words were strong, but cooling and soothing. And so this Bhagavatam is like that. Exactly Canto 1, Chapter 3, final verses, where the Bhagavatam is compared in a similar way, that the dark age of Kali, one can receive light through the Bhagavatam, and its cooling and soothing rays are different than the scorching heat of the sun, but it's as luminous as the sun. So through that same metaphor, the message of Jad Bharat is cooling and soothing and lifting him from the scorching heat of the fever of material existence, the fever of pride, and the fever of association with material energy, thinking, I'm the king. You better look out. You're going to get it if you don't do what I said. So he's abusing his position. And it already was said previously, now it's being, he's acknowledging it, and it's going to be said again, and, you know, by the king, and then again by Jad Bharat. He's going to repeat, it's a rerun with more detail of the previous chapter. Very valuable instruction. How to not, similar to the previous verses of the mind, not to be trusted, that's what we discussed yesterday, and neglected. Because the mind is carrying all these dirty conceptions. The body is dirty and the mind is dirty. And we need to make them both clean. But because of Maharaj Rahugana, because of my dirty body and my dirty conceptions, everything you said is correct. I've been abusive. And therefore I haven't understood your position. I haven't understood your instructions, so I'm going to ask you again, please explain your instructions. And these are the details I'd like you to go over again. And so Jad Bharat does. He goes over them again. We sometimes need to hear things more than once. Stay tuned. Any discussion? Yes. Purposefully.
There is no reason
that he got what? Why are you asking that question?
Because in this avatar, this has been come across that he was but there's a lot of other stories in the world that we never hear.
That's okay. Krishna's not a crooked cutter god. He doesn't have to do the same thing with everybody. The only indicate, but your question was, is there some other reason? I don't know of any other reason, but I don't know if we need another reason. It's sufficient. And the reason is because of being a great devotee in his life as Bharat Maharaj, Super Soul was very kind in that particular way. He gave him remembrance. Now, you know, people often ask, gee, if we knew the reason for our suffering today, it might help us to not, you know, do the same stupid thing again. So we have to suffer again. And you know, that's a kind of logic and reason that people use. And whether we know two things, even if we did know, does that mean we're not going to repeat it again? And second is, one thing we do know, whether it's this or that or combination, there's something back there that's causing this today. And I need to sit straight. Accept the reaction that's coming, whatever. And just hold tight to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, knowing that he's very kind. In Jad Bharat's case, the Supreme Lord offered something more than that. He offered him remembrance of his previous life. Some people have that capacity. Some people know how to play piano. Some people can dance. Some people can sing. Some people can't sing at all. I know a few. So Krishna gives different gifts to different people. In this case, he gave the gift of remembrance of his previous life to Judd Bharat. Why not? Something else. Yes.
After another one realized his position, he's taking the humble position.
He sure is.
And he's again the same. Unless one takes part in just a lotus state of pure devotee.
Mm.
So this phrase.
That's Prabhupada's purport, by the way. It's not Judd Rahugana. But in any case, the point is.
Yeah, so. This comes from again. I just
wanted to understand this
metaphor or
is real. Whatever you're comfortable with. For example, one can literally take the straw of the street in one's teeth, as Sanatana Goswami did. Or one may figuratively take the straw of the street in one's teeth. In either case, it's the same. Similarly, literally or like Raghunath Das Goswami wrote a verse about Rupa Goswami where he speaks in those two terms in one prayer, taking a straw in my teeth, seeking lifetime after lifetime the dust from the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami. So literally or figuratively, either way. The figuratively isn't less. It literally isn't greater.
Is that also in other culture than Vedic culture, this kind of humility, expression of humility, the expression of humility in this way is also in other faith, Western religions?
I don't know about other religions. If that phrase of the dust of the lotus feet of great personality, certainly the principle of humility is, and how it's expressed, the language and the metaphorical terminology or literal gesture, I can't comment because I don't know. Is that your specific question? Well, even within Vedic culture, for example, Bhaktisiddhanta refused to have anyone touch his feet. Now, does that mean Bhaktisiddhanta was unwilling to give his mercy? But he refused. And others didn't refuse. So that means Bhaktisiddhanta was higher? Or the others are higher because they give their mercy? Have people touch their feet or wash their feet or things like that. So even within Vedic culture, we'll just speak of outside. It's the mood of the acharya that decides those things. Doesn't change the teaching. He gives his mercy the other way rather than this way. I've seen the gesture is done out of convention and not from the heart. Basically, just, wanting ashirvad and, you know, wanting to go on with their material life. So, nothing wrong with the culture, but there's something wrong with the heart. And therefore, better to get the sound vibration than the water or the dust. That's Bhaktisiddhanta's position, in any case, which I can relate to. Anything else? No. I'm very surprised. You have another one?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it says the variety of things under these conditions are simply a mental function. So we know that mind is common to this world and that things can be explained in the world. But my question is the variety of things are existing, but it's temporary, but we know that it's existing. So how to understand the world which says mental function? Because I'm thinking with an example like, you know, the line goes with the ad, the salt.
Okay. Step back from the example you gave and just take, you know, the mind that thought of this and thought of that. And then because the mind has this capacity to think of this and think of that, one gets a body that can then do this or that. So you go back to the, go back and back and back, and the root is, it's a mental concoction. Just keep going back and back. Bodies are produced. Thoughts within the mind are produced. Actions of the body are produced in this temporary way, and thus having no more meaning than a dream. What goes on in the dream and what goes on in what you just described have no greater, lesser meaning. The root of it is, it's an essential teaching. It's in the previous, the end of the previous chapter. I didn't make reference to it yesterday, but I'll make reference to it today. The Avanti Brahman story reaches the same conclusion, Canto 11, same conclusion. It's just the mind. It's all generated from mental concoction. No more meaning than a dream. Now you see it. Now you don't. Daytime, nighttime. Mixing lemon with this and with that. No, now you see it, now you don't. What's the root of it? The root of it is the mind. Because we wouldn't have a body. We wouldn't have conceptions of life that are of the material type without the material mind. So what's the business? Clean the mind. Doesn't mean you don't make distinctions. But you understand when making those distinctions and discriminating, because that's what the intelligence does and the mind favors this and doesn't like that. I like soda or I like, you know, juice. What's important is what is Krishna like? And we offer varieties of things to Krishna because Krishna likes a variety of things, and that's why we do what we do. And that's where the mind becomes clean. And then the behavior comes, springs from the soul in relation to Krishna. That's what our life is. It's not arising from mental concoction. It's arising from the soul's relationship with Krishna. And otherwise, it's arising from mental concoction. It's fundamental. It's not negation of matter. It's the utility of it. The purpose of it. You know, the purpose of why creation? Why variety? Why anything? Okay. We're done. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.